too.
I don't know why you make me do these things, Chris says. His voice is broken, as though he's on the brink of tears. Why can't we just be happy? Why can't you just be grateful?
Katie does not reply, does not seem to be expected to, even though he has removed the gag. He's not even looking at her in any case. Her chest hurts, and her right side from shoulder to hip aches as she huddles on the dirty tartan blanket. She had tried to hit him with the mug and its scalding contents and run for the door, but she gained only a few seconds before he caught up with her, and his fury had been terrifying, unlike anything she could have imagined. She had been sure that she would die, and was surprised to find in the aftermath, as she wheezed through bruised ribs, that she hadn't. He threw her down the steps, back into her cellar prison, and left her there without food and water for a long time. This is his first reappearance.
I have tried and tried my best for you.
He rubs at his sallow face with a kind of frantic energy, which she knows bodes ill.
You girls, you're all the same.
Katie remains silent. She has been a prisoner in the cellar for 4, maybe 5 weeks. She would strike off the days on the stone as a calendar, except that she has no way of telling when one day has ended and another begun. Anyway, marking the stone might make her captor angry, and Katie will do anything, anything at all, to prevent that from happening again. Though whatever she does, it's never quite enough.
What do you think would happen if I turned you over, eh? If the others got wind of you, got their hands on you? You can't imagine the things they'd do to you.
His eyes are huge, almost comical, though she knows better than to laugh.
They're ruthless. They know no mercy, I tell you. There'd be nothing left of you but a red, wet stain on the floor.
She has heard this story many, many times before. He tells it again and again.